It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Amazon has a big event happening this week. The online retail behemoth is expected to give us a phone. Great, but why? Well, if the mobile window we look through every time we go online says Amazon on the frame and the pane, we're probably more likely to watch, browse, and buy stuff from the company. All right, next question. I'm an Android, and my friends are all iPhones and Nokias, so who is going to buy this thing? James McQuivey is an analyst at Forrester.
Amazon wants to be in the we-want-to-be-in-your-pocket business, and a phone just happens to be a very good way to do that so that they are present with you whenever you think of something you want to buy.
We'll see, I guess. More news on this later this week. Computer science is more popular than ever as a major in college, almost no matter where you go. But back in the 1960s, it wasn't taken quite as seriously. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology is celebrating 50 years of ComSci. Kirk Carapeza at WGBH's Higher Education Desk in Boston brings us this report.
Joel Moses digs through his cluttered Cambridge office and pulls a dusty book off the shelf.
Let's look at the books here. Here's an interesting one. This goes back to the history of Project Mac.
Joel Moses has been teaching computer science at MIT for 47 years. But when he first arrived on campus in 1963, it was to be a founding member of Project Mac.
Machine-aided cognition, which is another way of saying artificial intelligence, and multi-access computers, which is another way of saying time-sharing.
Project Mac marked the beginning of the formal study of computer science. At first, administrators were skeptical. They viewed computer science as just a passing fad.
We had to prove ourselves, and we did. Not only did we create time-sharing, but calculus problems, integration. People were, pleasantly surprised that a computer could do that as well as humans.
Then in the 1970s, MIT's Lab for Computer Science was born, and MIT researchers developed some of the basic programming that led to fax machines and email and the complex operating systems we all take for granted today. Computer science was finally making its mark.
There was a turning point. Sometime in the 80s, I thought that was okay to major in computer science.
Today, one-third of all MIT engineering students are computer sci majors, and the number of students taking advanced courses in the field is growing.
We have to reach further with equipment, and we can only do this with computer science.
PhD candidate Dion Furie is from Johannesburg. In the lab, he's working to program a robot that can both explore the deepest reaches of the ocean and be smart enough to know what it's found.
Say 5,000, 10,000 meters down, you can't really communicate with anything. You're sort of in this dark abyss void. And now you have to go do something useful. And that doesn't just happen by itself.
But, says Joel Moses, it's still early days.
All these things people have talked about for decades are coming to fruition, and they're getting better. The computers are getting better and better.
He says computer science is just beginning to really tackle speech and facial recognition and to advance artificial intelligence by figuring out how the human brain works. In Boston, I'm Kirk Carapeza for Marketplace.
To hear more on technology and education, visit our project, marketplace.org/learningcurve. Marketplace Tech is listener-supported, and twice a year, we invite you to make a gift to support the tech and business reporting you've come to rely on. A gift from you in any amount helps fuel a daily dose of tech news from Marketplace. Help us end the budget year strong by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th. With the World Cup in full swing, it's almost impossible to catch all the games live. So how to avoid spoilers if you're DVRing them? Well, there's a contest around the Super Bowl called Last Man that might be instructive. The goal? To avoid knowing the outcome of America's biggest game for as long as possible. Almost everybody eventually loses, but a guy who made it pretty far a few years back is Brendan Loy, attorney in Denver. Brendan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What was your sort of athlete's routine, we'll call it, for making sure that you avoided for as long as possible gaining the knowledge?
First of all, completely swore off social media, and I went on like that for as long as I was playing the game.
All right. What about your phone?
When I would get a text, I sort of developed a method of putting my hand over the screen and then sort of one word at a time slowly revealing the text message to see if it seemed safe.
I know that, a lot of
players of sports have their own kind of superstitious rituals. Did you have any sort of superstitious, you know, rituals that might help you try and become the last man?
There's a lot of practical rituals, like remembering not to glance at the two TVs in the lobby of the building where I work.
Eyes on the floor with your hand shading your eyes or something.
Exactly, exactly. Or walking past the newspaper box on the street and remembering not to glance at that.
What about email?
I try to avoid checking my Gmail account at all for the first several days, and because I knew that there would be not only breaking news alerts, but also there could be advertisements that would reference the game and other such things. But there were a few exceptions, and in those cases, I did something similar to my phone thing where I would sort of squint at the screen from an angle and try to ascertain the name of the person sending it to me to be sure it was safe to click on it to avoid finding it out that way.
What do you think makes us want to do this, avoid knowing the outcome of something in the time that it actually happens?
To me, watching a sporting event live is all about the suspense. Once you know how it turns out, you might want to fast forward and watch a couple of big plays, but for the most part, it's just not nearly as interesting to watch a sporting event once you know the ending.
Brendan Loy is an attorney in Denver and a former Last Man contestant. Brendan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy watching and best of luck. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.